guys. Welcome to
the brand new podcast, Young and in Love.
This
is the podcast, Young and in Love. Hello, young lovers, and welcome to another episode of Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
Again, I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor.
We're the Andersons. And this is Young and in Love. Young and in Love. This is Young and in Love. Welcome back. This is indeed part 2 of episode 30. So if you missed part 1, make sure you just scroll down in your feed, click that last episode, and get all caught up on why we're back and what took us so long to return. But I hope you guys enjoy the continued conversation that Taylor and I had, talking about our new journeys through young adulthood and young parenthood. And all the lessons that we continue to learn, both me as a husband and father, her as a wife and mother. Hope you guys enjoy. Talk to you guys at the end of the episode. Thanks. What's the biggest change that you've seen in yourself since the kids have been around?
Thinking.
You've already mentioned one, right? You're finding yourself more disciplined.
Yeah. I think I'm... discipline, that's huge. Like, if I'm going to do something, I dedicate everything I'm doing, like, into that. I don't know, I guess the amount of like love that I have in me is sort of, I don't want to say surprising, because like everyone should be able to like love, you know, but like, I don't know. It's amazing. Just like how much I love one like human being, like so much. Like I love you like so much, mm-hmm. But like August is like, he's my everything. Like I'm obsessed with our kid. I'm getting teary-eyed.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, so that's cool. And like, yeah, it like freaks me out to think about him in a couple months, like crawling. Then once he's crawling, he's climbing. And I worked in a daycare as like a preschool teacher and an infant teacher for a little while. And man, I know he's coming up on that age, and I'm like terrified, because the little boys I worked with, oh my goodness, they're relentless, and like they don't know that that they could kill themselves, but they try to kill themselves on a daily, and I like am not ready to deal with that. But like, I mean, I said it'll be fine, because I mean, looking back, like all the things that I went through that I think I could have never ever gone through, and then I did successfully and like continue to move forward, like I know I'll be able to do everything. So I mean, it's whatever, but
yeah.
Anyways, I'm off, getting off topic.
No, it's do we have a topic for any of these episodes?
I don't know. But yeah, the ability I have to love, that's great. The discipline, that's great. just wanting to be, I mean, he makes me just want to be like the best I can for him, because I mean, I know like as a little girl, like looking up to my parents or other adults around me, like thinking all these things, and I don't know, the people around you are your example for everything, like your blueprint to life. And I just want him to like learn as much as he can from me and the things around him. And I want him to be able to learn as much as he can. But I need to provide those like experiences for him and, make those things happen so that he's able to learn. So I think that's super cool too, just to like see him learn new things every day, or like make connections that I, help make possible for him. Like that's super cool. There's probably more, but
all right. Well, if you think of of any.
I don't know. Well, interrupt me. What do you think? How do you think I've changed? If you think I've changed.
Oh, how do I think you've changed?
Yeah, yeah. For the better or worse, I suppose.
For the better. You've definitely surpassed all expectations that I've had of like what you were capable of as a mom. So I had pretty high expectations for you before, just because of just the knowledge that you had gained and that you shared with me previously, right? Mm-hmm. As you were pregnant, but also as you were going through school.
Mm-hmm.
And all the knowledge you've shared with me before, and also when you were working with children and when you babysit children, you explain a lot of things to me. So I already knew that there was a lot of knowledge there.
Mm-hmm.
But your ability to apply that knowledge has definitely surpassed every expectation I had, which is cool to watch. And it's like neat to see. And it's feels nice to know that I'm married up. So that's like the way that you've changed in my mind, like my reality, right, of you.
Mm.
You've changed. And then other things are, it's just like a more perfect version of yourself.
Wow, you call me perfect.
A more perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because I've always thought you were dedicated, but now, like, seeing how quickly you were able to, like, transform and reform your body back to what it was,
mm-hmm.
and now you're, like, pushing towards a more leaner, more, like, stronger mm-hmm. version of yourself, like, that's very impressive, mm-hmm. but, like, I thought you were dedicated before, and now I just look at you, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's... She's quickly outpacing me on dedication. And then there's like little things that you're still working on,
mm-hmm.
like asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Before we had a kid, you'd almost never ask me for help. I would just, like, even if you're struggling to get something off the top shelf or something, I would just have to walk over and then pull it down for you. But now that's like something that you're genuinely working on.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you communicate things, we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something to mention, is that like right around, I think month three, like two, three or four, we had a serious regression in communication.
Yeah.
Like I started going back to work and... I still have to write it, but I'm getting more and more encouraged to write an episode, a solo episode that I'm just going to record about the feeling of helplessness in fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pondering a lot all throughout her pregnancy, all throughout when we were in the hospital and... so far in these first 7 months, is that there's been many times where I have felt helpless as a father. Like there's just, and it's not that I wasn't helping. It's just that there was nothing I could help with.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's come out sometimes because, if August gets really upset, like really, really, really upset, Taylor can just like sort of feed him. So mm-hmm. just start breastfeeding and then he sort of like calms down automatically. And that's only happened like three times where he's got so upset that there's like no other thing that we do. So you just feed him and every time it's calmed him down. It doesn't usually, every time it's worked. And every time I just sort of look at her and I go, cheater. And I walk away. Because it's like nothing that I could do, right? So I tried desperately and like one time... I literally like fell asleep in his room trying mm-hmm. to get him to go to sleep because he was just screaming mm-hmm. in the middle of the night. And then like those feelings are real, like very real. And I don't think many people talk about it. And mm-hmm. it's probably because it's not really normalized yet. I know we're getting better, but as men to really like talk about and share your feelings, it's still a touchy subject for most men. So look forward to that. But right around month like 2, 3, and 4, what would that have been? May, June, July. Yeah. So it would have been months 2 and 3 because there are 2 days after we released that last episode on May 21st or whenever that day was. You can look at it. I ruptured my ACL playing basketball. We didn't think I had done anything serious. I thought it was just a really bad sprain. Like I might have dislocated my knee and it popped back into place in the same time. Come to find out I did dislocate it and it did pop it back into place. But in the time that it dislocated, it snapped my ACL clean in half. And you hear a lot about people in sports like tearing their ACL, and that's a whole lot better because your ACL can actually stitch itself back together like any other torn muscle or ligament. Unfortunately, I ruptured mine, so it snapped clean in half. No parts were connected, and I had to get reconstructive surgery, a brand new ACL that they took from my kneecap, my patellar tendon. And we're currently still in like the recovery process for that, but the surgery for that was July 15th. So I was off of my leg after that for 6 weeks, right? Basically, yeah. Like 4 to 6 weeks. 4 weeks, I think I was on my feet. I was able to walk around with the brace. Mm-hmm. And then 8 weeks is when they unlock this big long leg brace. So then I could walk around with a brace on, but I sort of hit a low, right? Because then Taylor was all on her own. Mm-hmm. She felt bad if she like woke me up at night to get
so
up.
So that's when all the bottle feeding stopped, which probably contributes to why our kid no longer takes a bottle.
Yeah, no longer
at
takes
all.
A bottle.
But I mean, that's just one of the things that happened.
Yeah, so that's when it like really hit me. Because I had been battling sort of with these feelings before that happened. And the crazy thing is that even though I ruptured my ACL in May, all throughout June, I was managing, right? Because I didn't know. I got an MRI in mid-June, which is when we got that unfortunate news that I had snapped my ACL. But I was working around it. It just felt really sore to me. So I still moved like a new couch into our apartment on that knee, and sort of mind-boggling how the human body works. But after the surgery, it just sort of hit rock bottom because I thought, like, well, what else am I here for? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what, why? I've sort of gotten my family into this mess and now couldn't do anything about it. And the truth of the matter is that I was helping.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, I don't think it negates or falsifies the feelings that I was having. So once I start writing, that's how I organize my thoughts. So it'll start to really fall into place, all of those feelings. But and if any men listen to this podcast, any fathers who have had similar feelings, and maybe even in far more serious situations, your thoughts and sort of how you got through that would be much appreciated. And that's a nice little time to slide in the fact that you can still leave voice messages at anchor.fm/younglove, which is our website. Anchor, as in the anchor of a ship, anchor.fm/younglove. You can leave voice messages now on mobile and on a web browser, so you don't have to have the app in order to leave them. And you can mention the episode that you were listening to and sort of your thoughts, and that way we can include your snippets in the show segments. So I'd really enjoy that, and maybe I can find someone to talk to about that. maybe a family psychologist or something that I can bring on the show mm-hmm. and talk to him about sort of fatherhood and how not talking about our feelings is stigmatized, which is really unfortunate.
You should go back. You keep getting off topic.
Yeah.
You're trying to talk about our lack of communication or, yeah, our issues with communication.
Yeah.
During month two and three.
So the segment, the segue to that would be that I was at my lowest. I just forgot where I started. Thanks, Dad. I was at my lowest, and I just, when you're feeling that bad, it's really hard to think about others. That's the honest mm-hmm. truth. So I just stopped communicating about it. Number one, because it didn't feel right mm-hmm. to me. And then number two, I didn't know really what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have that word in my head, helplessness, at the time. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I was sad and disappointed, and then I was like looking for more, but had no idea where to find it. So then I just stopped talking about it to Tay. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you guys. Sex wasn't the same, and it still isn't, but we figured it out now. So that was like another pressing issue on my mind. As a young married couple, sex is like a pretty significant part of mm-hmm. marriage. So just things that had worked before weren't working afterwards.
Still not working.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like talking about it, so I didn't. But that escalated very quickly, I think. In my head, it did. Looking yeah. back to just a lot of like slow nights. I don't know. Just awkward nights where I didn't really feel like doing anything, and you wanted to do not intimate things, but just anything yeah. in general. Yeah, yeah, I just like didn't really want to do anything. Would just sort of lose myself in a video game and then just put headphones on so Taylor wouldn't talk to me. It got sad, but like I've told a good friend of mine before that like sadness, although it sort of sucks in the moment, it's a really good thing. Because mm-hmm. it forces you to look at what's good in the world and forces you to really appreciate what you have. So during those months, we had a serious regression in communication. And I stopped asking questions about the kid. I think you stopped giving any new information just because I wasn't asking anymore. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like it was sad at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were, it felt fine.
Yeah, it felt okay. It just, we weren't as open as we were before. And that took some serious self-reflection on my part. And it came down to a moment where I sat you down and I said, look, this is what's going on. Like, this is the feelings I've been having. And I think this is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. But I need your help. So I asked her to be more prescriptive with the help that she needed. So I asked that instead of asking me if I'd like to do something, to just tell me, like, hey, I need you to do the dishes tonight, or hey, I need you to go and change his diaper and get him ready for bath time. And that led to, I think, a far more productive parenting style for us, because when you work together, it's far more fruitful being a parent.
Right.
Then I think working on everything alone. Did you have any thoughts about that whole thing? I ranted for like 4.5 minutes.
You did.
So.
I mean, I guess it's just something to keep in mind always, to work on your communication. I mean, at any stage of life, we still need to work on it now, but I think, especially as a mom, at least for me, it can be hard to even realize that you're doing something or that you're not doing something. Because one, like, the majority of my thoughts are all on, like, August or about August, or I don't know, or just like what's going to be best for him, or like how I can do something for him. And sometimes I think, I don't know, or sometimes when, like, I'm thinking about something that's not that, I don't know, I like don't communicate it, or I don't even, I don't know, I feel like I just don't even realize. Does that make this make sense? I'm tired. I don't know.
I'm sure it made sense to someone.
Yeah, it can just it can just be difficult. That's all, really.
Yeah, I think something that really like snapped me out of it was something that Tay did, and we haven't even talked about this and what you did. But we have private journals and we have public journals. So our private journal is ones that we just keep notes to ourselves and we shouldn't be reading. But then we have public journals that we keep in our end tables next to our bed that we write in with the understanding that at one point our significant other will read it, right? That we will read each other's journal. Mm-hmm. And Taylor took mine out and put it on the top because I'd never written in it.
I took yours out, so that, like, yours as in the one for me to write in for you.
Because you had,
but. Because I've written in it, but I haven't written in a while. And I haven't known, I didn't know if you've ever read any of the things I wrote in it. So I placed on top and I kept moving it to places where you go so that you would hopefully pick it up. But up until now, I didn't even know that. You've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's back where it should be.
Oh.
I read it.
Anyways, you continue.
Okay. The whole point of that was what she just described. It's an opportunity for us to understand what the other one is thinking and feeling without having to talk face-to-face about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I read hers and realized, or was shown. I didn't realize anything, right? You showed me what you were struggling with and like the issues that you were having as a young mother. And that sort of snapped me out of the whole, like, woe is me. Why can't I help with more? Like, why can't I do more as a dad? Because all of the things that you were worried about in your journal were things that I could help with.
Mm-hmm.
Like little things that make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I started just like trying to pick up on those little things and really help out. And I think that's what sort of changed. And then I grabbed my journal and it took me like 2.5 weeks to write one entry, but it's there.
Oh, wow.
And I she didn't even know. Yeah.
Cool.
So I carried it with me to work. And then one work day, it was pretty slow. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I got nothing else to do. And I sat down there and I just like forced myself to put my thoughts on the page. So that led me to why I asked you the question 20 minutes later in the episode. Like, what do you think has changed the most in you? And like my answer to that question is, for me, the importance and the purpose of sacrifice. I think one of the reasons that people have such an issue with finding joy and happiness in parenthood is because they continue to try and live their lives the way they were before the child was there. So they just try and adapt the child to the life they were living rather than restructure their life around the child. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very touchy subject because you still need to do the things that you do that make you happy.
Right, right.
Like, you need, this is very important, you need to maintain habits. Mm-hmm. And hobbies, like good hobbies that you enjoy, mm-hmm. that you find purpose in, and you just need to find time for those things that bring you the most joy. That means there are some things that bring less joy and you enjoy doing that you will have to let go, mm-hmm. Because there's just not enough time. And I think people get so flustered because once you finally get the kid to sleep at 8:30, 9 o'clock, you should realistically go to bed an mm-hmm. hour and a half later. But I found myself in this situation many times where an hour and a half later, I feel like I did nothing for myself that day. Mm-hmm. And then I go and do things that will bring menial amounts of joy to me in the next few hours, but then make my next day inevitably harder because then I'm tired mm-hmm. and I'm exhausted and trying to still be helpful, and mm-hmm. it just makes the day so much worse. But that's why sacrifice is so important, because and we're still learning how to do this right with each other. You need to sacrifice your own time for the time that you give to your family. Sacrifice a little bit of your career to really take advantage of this time that you have with your family. Sacrifice a little bit of education to really take part in the family and to be a part, an active part of the family. And then that goes both ways, right? Mm-hmm. You sacrifice a little bit of your time. I sacrifice a little bit of mine for the betterment of the family. And the purpose of that sacrifice is not only for your sanity, but for the betterment of the family as a whole, so that everybody can be happy. Mm-hmm. So sacrifice a little bit of your joy so that you can bring joy to others. Otherwise, if I get frustrated as a dad and I'm tired and I'm exhausted, then I can't help you as much as I could when I'm well rested. And then if I can't help you as much, then you get exhausted quicker mm-hmm. because you're doing more of the work. Mm-hmm. And if you get exhausted quicker, the quality of your parenting goes down.
Right, right.
Because then you're tired.
Right, and he picks up on it.
And then he knows that we're stressed or he's not being treated as nicely as he was before and getting all of his needs met. So then he's frustrated. And it goes vice versa, right? If you were to just say, nope, like, I don't feel like breastfeeding him this afternoon. I'm going to go and do my own thing, you know? And you were just a whole lot more natural at it. That's why I said you've exceeded all my expectations. But the importance and the purpose of sacrifice is I think, what's changed in my head the most. Mm-hmm. And I think it's my theory that is what people say, or that is what people are thinking of when somebody asks them, like, oh, what changed after you had a kid? And they say, oh, everything changed. But then they can never explain to you what's changed, right? They just go, oh, everything. Like, it's so much more different. And I think it's when people finally make that realization and that change, right? To sacrifice a little bit of themselves for the betterment of the family. And then you're placing your time and your efforts in something greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. And you feel that purpose, but I don't think anyone's ever put it into words in that way to me. I'm sure someone's put it in those words in a book somewhere mm-hmm. that I only read half of. But that's my answer to that. I think parenting has been great. Like, 7 months have been fun.
Yeah, considering the fact that, like, we're already 7 months into it and I already want another kid, like, now.
Yeah.
Which we're not, FYI. But the fact that I want one, which is crazy to a lot of people.
Spring 2022.
Yeah.
We'll just make the baby announcement now. Skip the Instagram post later.
In a perfect world.
Yeah.
That's how that happened.
Yeah. I guess just to wrap up anything that we missed, I've decided to take the next two semesters off from school. It was just weighing on me a lot emotionally. I wasn't able to dedicate myself fully to my studies because I was torn between being a father and being a student. Taking the next two semesters off will help me rebalance priorities and then get a better situation here at home. And the good news is I only have two semesters left if everything goes correctly with my grades this semester. I only have two semesters left until I need to until I graduate. So once August is a little bit older, has a little bit better understanding of what it means that dad's at work, then I can make that sacrifice again. I think he can sort of entertain himself. It'll just be a better family situation next fall rather than trying to just push through and graduate in December. Eve is gone.
Yeah.
We got rid of one of our cars. Eve was a 2003 Nissan Altima. She gave up the ghost. She's no longer with us. New apartment. That was last March, so yeah. I guess we've already talked about that.
I'm still in school. What's new?
Yeah.
Working on it. That's another thing student. I do during the day.
Yeah.
It's one of my many hats.
Yeah, student. And we're starting a small business, but we can talk about that in a later date. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be just an ad segment. During the episode, which should be fun. If you don't follow us on Instagram, go ahead. We're recording a video portion of this for YouTube. That'll be at a YouTube channel that I finally got set up, which is nice. And that'll be the full episode, so you can see our faces along with our voices and the funny habits that we do while we're talking to each other.
Yeah, because I forgot that was even there, and I keep pressing my nose into this thing.
Into the pop filter. So that's cool. Follow us on our Instagrams. My Instagram is at WhimsicalJoshua. If you don't know how to spell whimsical, there's a dictionary for a reason.
And you can find me at Tay's Best Days.
Yeah. TaysBestDays. Tay's Best Days. I also never spell whimsical for people because I'm afraid I'm going to misspell it.
Yeah, that's why I figured you mentioned the dictionary.
Yeah. I could give you my best guess, but it's WHIMSICAL. Whimsical Joshua. JOSHUA. No spaces altogether. That's on Instagram. We also have an Instagram for this podcast where we post highlights. It's at YoungLovePC. We have a Twitter too, but the Twitter is only there to redirect you to the Instagram. So you should really just follow us on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. It's called at YoungLovePC. Basically, just type in at YoungLovePC anywhere and you'll find us. The best place to look, though, is at anchor.fm/younglove, where you can leave your voice messages and look at all of our past episodes. You can find us on Spotify and Podster and anywhere you find your podcast. We're on Google Play, too, and the iTunes store, of course, Apple Podcasts. That's what that is. You can look us up on your Alexa, on your Google, wherever you want to do. You can find our podcast. Share it with your friends. That's a challenge that we love to leave with people, is to just share it with one.
When can they expect our next podcast, Ja?
I think we've got a pretty good schedule, although we're headed right into Christmas. So you probably expect one more before Christmas. Oh, okay. I think we can do next Sunday once a good friend of ours leaves. She's coming to visit next weekend. And then the next Sunday would be Christmas weekend. So we'll be up in my parents' house. Maybe we'll do something fun with everybody. Ask some goofy questions about love or relationships or communication or family relationships from everybody while we're there, because it's going to be a big group. Six different families. Seven different families, I guess. Yeah.
basically or everybody six, in a relationship.
Yeah, let's say six different families, seven different relationships, and a lot of different people who yeah. are involved in that, in my side of the family. So maybe we'll do something cool with all of them to get it together. I believe this is going to be part two of a two-part episode. That way I can spread some episodes out. Get more content to you guys, and that, so you don't have to sit through an hour-long episode. You can rather take it in two parts. Part one, which will be around 30 minutes, and then part two, which will be another 30 minutes. But anything else? Any last thoughts?
One thing I said, I don't know when I was going to say this, but I had the thought. Doing the small things around the house without me asking, that's huge. I always feel bad when I ask you. But if you were to do them and I didn't ask you, or if I ask you to do them and you do them when I ask you, or like within the like 5 to 15 minutes after I asked you and not like 2 to like 5 hours later, yeah. you probably get laid more.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Well, say less. Say less. All right. Noted.
Mic drop. That's yeah, it.
Mic drop.
Goodbye.
Right. See you guys in the next one. I'm going to go get my best. Do my best to get laid some more before the next episode. I'll give you a status update next time. All right. Peace.